good to be back home. I don't know if you've been looking for me to get in here, but I have sure been looking forward to getting here. I don't know if hell pops in Ashburn, but it does in Marion. And we've been going through it, but it's just so good to be home.
Amen, sir.
Got your Bibles tonight. Look with me in Romans chapter number 9. And
one verse.
And I've been wrestling with this for 3 weeks. And I've asked God, begged God, not to make me do it. Romans chapter number 9 and verse number 21. I want to look at this one verse, draw our thought. And tonight, by the help of the Holy Ghost, for the few moments that we have together, I want to preach on this thought, the power of the potter. Verse 21, the Bible says, "Hath not the potter power over the clay, of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor, and another unto dishonor?" Now, Heavenly Father, I dare not do this by myself. Lord, I need you. I'm as a dry sponge tonight. I need the very unction of the Holy Ghost to make us lubricant and make us vital and make us effective in thy hand. Lord, I don't want us to leave tonight bragging on the singing, though it's been good. Lord, I don't want us to leave tonight bragging on the preaching, for Lord, that we've done heard has been wonderful and it's fed our hearts. But God, somehow, some way, I'm praying that He, the Holy Ghost, would come among us and begin to fix the broken places of our lives. Lord, that might begin to refresh us and revive us. God, I pray that you might restore us and bring us back to our much-needed life. Lord, I pray tonight that we not leave here tonight talking about who we've seen or pat our back for being seen. But God, somehow, some way, would you come and meet our needs, that when we leave here, we can say, "He that loved us with an everlasting love, He that saved us and pardoned us and made us whole, came back to minister to us one more time." Lord, we need your touch. Lord, we need your help. Lord, I'm not preaching what I might think might be right. Lord, I'm not preaching tonight what I heard some other man say that it sounded real good and I thought I'd make me an outline. But God, let me express the very word of God that you placed inside of my heart. Lord, that's been burning and building and moldering on the inside of me for these weeks. God, would you give me the grace? God, would you give me the boldness? God, would you give me the ability to deliver my heart tonight? Lord, I pray, as the man told me years ago, not to fear the frowns, Lord, not to court the smile. But God, somehow can the messenger from another world come by our way tonight? Oh, God, that I cannot do, but I need awful bad. Lord, would you do that for us? That we need to see tonight, but our eyes cannot focus on. Lord, would you let us see it tonight? Lord, that we need to touch, but our hands just don't know where to go to feel it. God, would you let us touch tonight? Oh, but God, if you would just pass by and let us touch but the hem of your garment tonight, I know we'll be made whole. God, whatever you want to do in our midst tonight, I want to say I'm for it. God, whatever you want to do, Lord, the souls you want to save, God, the ones that you want to call in the meeting, whatever you want to do, God, I'm a candidate for it. Lord, I want you to know tonight, God, have free liberty in this service. Lord, I didn't have to give it to you. Lord, you ain't waiting on me to initiate anything. But God, I pray, would you come by and make yourself known? Oh, God, would you make yourself known? Lord, not only will you show up tonight, will you show out? And that you'll do, we'll thank you and we'll praise you. For we ask it in thy name and for thy sake. Amen. And amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. It's amazing to me tonight the fact that all that we shout about and all that we preach about, even the songs that we sing about, it's awful good to get in the emotion of a meeting. It's good to get in the emotion of somewhere. And when everything's going good and everything's real thick and everything's going on, we can shout about the good things of God, and we should all the time. And I don't believe in shouting. I sort of like it. I'm a product tonight as Timothy was, because I have the same testimony that Paul gave of Timothy. He said that I saw it first in your grandmother, and then I saw it again in your mom, and I'm persuaded that it's in you also. And I can understand tonight the very glory of this, for I understand and know what it's like to come home from school and go home and try to look for mom off the school bus and couldn't find her. And she was off in her back bedroom closet praying that God would stay on her boy and God would use him. I knew what that was like. I'd have to run out the door because I didn't want to be around that much. And I'd run across the yard about 100 feet, 150 feet, something like that, ain't it? And I'd go in there in the little bathroom where my grandmother's room is. I could hear her telling God to stay on her grandson and God to be with. I know what that's like. I understand that. Brother Travis, not meaning to gloat or not meaning to brag, but I'm 3 years younger than you are. And some of those things that you said you wanted to see, God has allowed me to view with these eyes. And being on them services, I wouldn't take 1,000 worlds for the things God has done for me. For these things that God has done is eternal things. And he said in the book of Corinthians, he said you can understand the difference between temporal things and eternal things. Then temporal things will run out. A lot of the blessings that we get a hold of and a lot of the things that we enjoy in a service is just temporary. For by the time we get home and watch the evening news, we even forget we're at church. And you get home and you go out to Wendy's or McDonald's or Burger King and throw back a few hamburgers and chomp on a few fries and talk about what you're going to do tomorrow and all that. We forgot about the good blessings of God that He has put in our life. But I have to understand that we must understand that our life is a vital part of this ministry. Any ministry that you're part of, it is a vital part. God has placed you to do what He's called you to do. It's amazing to me. I've heard preachers all of my life, been raised in church and camp meetings, they'd say, well, if you don't do it, God will put somebody else in your place. That's as far as the Bible is speaking in an unknown tongue, if you want to get technical. Because if God has something for you and you don't do it, it's not going to get done. And God is not going to use somebody else to plow with your plow. Are you with me? What He's going to do is you're going to use that He's called you to do, or it's not going to get done. That's where the responsibility is. Because if I knew somebody else could pick up the slack, I could slack off. But there's nobody waiting in the sidelines to take my place. It's awful easy. Brother Jason, when we're playing sports, it's awful easy to give it all you got because there's got a sub coming off the bench for you when you throw the tired signal. But Brother Rick, in the past 18 years of following God, in the last 18 years of preaching, I've thrown the tired signal up a lot of time, and ain't nobody took my place yet. I ain't got to stop every time I got tired for a drink of water. And I ain't always got to sit down on the bench. But you got to understand, it's not me doing this because I'm just the clay. It's not me doing this because I'm just the vessel. But can I tell you, there is a potter that is involved. Can I tell you the most important thing by way of introduction? The most important thing about this is the potter. For without the potter, the clay would be worthless. You've got to understand what we're going through. We're not talking about these people that can go to a Hobby Lobby or somewhere and get out some molding clay and some modeling clay, because I'm going to tell you something. Store-bought clay will not last through the fire. It is cheapened by mass production. Can I tell you what we've done? We have mass produced a lot of cheap Christians in this day. I'm not saying they're not going to heaven. I'm just saying they're not going to make it through the kiln. I'm not going to say they can't shout. I'm just going to say when the fire goes on, you ain't going to hear nothing but a pop. Because the mass production has weakened the quality of the clay. Can I tell you something? We've made Christianity so easy. It sickens me. I was listening the other night. We was been around getting ready to come down here and all the stuff. And we was serving a guy on the INSP channel. I don't know if you ever heard this dude or not. Have you ever heard of Mike Murdoch? I've got what I'm going to do. Next time I hit financial trouble, I'm going to make up 7 false stories that nobody's going to believe. Learn how to play the piano and jabber in tongues, and I'll be a millionaire. Because that's exactly what he's done. And I've got it. When I fall back on hard times, I've got a plan. That's my plan B. I mean, if revival meetings slow down, either that or I'm going to get a tent and go out somewhere and get out snakes. I went over to the Randolph Mall today. I can buy 5 pythons. We can tie a baby rattle to them. They'll never know the difference. And we can do that. I can understand all the different things. But that we have mass-produced cheap Christians, and the quality of Christians is went down. Can I tell you something? The reason a lot of us hasn't went through the fire is God cannot trust us through the fire. And I tell you why we've never been in the Spirit on the Lord's Day is because God has never trusted us to put us on an aisle with wild beasts around us, with death everywhere around, with no hope and no help and no way out. God can't trust us in that situation. But you're going to understand that we are worthless. The way the potter begins to do this, the first thing he would do would take out, and he would take rocks. I never did understand this. I sit through 4 years of art class in high school. I can't draw a straight line with the ruler, but I took art, got 4 art credits, and I sit there and I do it. And I went and they interviewed my teacher, Mr. Merle McIntyre. He could do all kinds of amazing things with clay. He loved pottery, and he told us how that you can make clay. And the best thing that he could say to do, he said, what you got to do is you got to get some rocks. He said, little bitty rocks that nobody else wants. Rocks that nobody else wants. And he said, there's instruments and there's tools that gets crushed. And you got to crush those rocks. And you'll crush those rocks in the powder. Can I tell you, honey? Can I tell you what happened for us? 2,000 years ago on the old rugged cross, there was a stone that the builders rejected. But the same became the chief and the head of the corner. And God crushed that rock for us. And the rock was crushed for you and I. He said, have you ever heard the old saying that the oil and water don't mix? He said, it does here. I was sitting in a 12th grade art appreciation class, and I began to watch him take the oil. And I began to watch him take the water, and he'd pour in a little bit of oil, and he'd pour in a little bit of the water, and the Holy Ghost began to finger it around on the inside of me, and said, it takes a little bit of the Word, and it takes a little bit of the Holy Ghost, and it takes a little bit of the Word, and it takes, and all of a sudden, that powder, that dust began to bubble up, and all of a sudden the oil began to make it pliable in his hand. And I watched the pile of dust become a moldable piece of clay. And I tell you something, about 22, 23, 25 years ago, the story of the cloth was as dry as powder to me. But thank God, February 26, 1984, at Temple Baptist Church, God come by a little six-year-old boy. All of a sudden, he began to pour some oil in, and begin to pour some water in, and that dry powder become moldable and pliable in his hand. I would love to tell you that was the only time that stuff ever became dry to me. About 3-4 months ago, year and a half ago, 2 years ago, for some of us, it become dry again. But he didn't despair, because he knows what works. I watched Brother Marvin play all these instruments. I can't play instruments because of biblical reasons. My right hand don't know what my left hand's doing. And so I don't get to play that. But Dad and I was in a meeting one night. And Dad, you vouch for me right here. We were sitting there, and there's a man stood there with his fingers on the same fret, on the same key, with the same rhythm, every song. Never moved it. Never moved it. Don't matter if it's Amazing Grace. Don't matter if it's How Great Thou Art. Don't matter if it's Froggy Winter Courtin'. He kept the same rhythm, the same beat. Somebody asked him after church. He said, what's the difference? He said, they're looking for it. I found it. He said, they're wearing themselves up and down the gym. I found it. And he found the key. Can I tell you something? We're running ourselves to death looking for the best fix. We're looking for the best cure. We want to make things work and make ends meet and make things stretch out. All of a sudden, if we go back to the potter, for he is the one that's in control, he knows what's worth. He knows how to work it. He knows how to make it come to pass. And if you're not careful, you'll be worthless without the potter. If you let that potter begin to work, he'll make beautiful treasures. He'll make beautiful pieces of pottery and beautiful vases and bowls and other things. It's great to know that we have a potter. It's great to know. I'm glad I'm not forming me. Because I've seen some of the stuff I've built. I built a birdhouse one time in Bible school. God is my witness, on our front porch, there was birds all around that, and never one of them went to my birdhouse. And I thought, under God, I can't even make a birdhouse where a bird wants to live in. Me and my granddad built a doghouse one time. Till Freckles got big enough to have to move out of the dog. He stepped on top of it. He wouldn't even go inside of it. He stepped on top of the dog. I can't build anything. Why in the world, if I can't build a dog house and I can't build a bird house, how in the world am I going to express my effort and exhaust my strength trying to build something eternal out of me? Because I'm nothing. I'm nothing. This year the Lord put me in a Christian school. Every day or two, there's one of those students that walked by me. They said, "Coach Grant, I want to be just like you." I said, "I want you to. I want you to be better. Be better than me. Be better than me." Because if you tap out, if you top out, what's left to live for? If you've got everything that you want, why would you want anything else? And in this very idea and this vein of thought, talking to a church, Paul looks at the church of Rome and said, "My heart's desire above all else is that Israel should be saved. And if Israel's going to be saved, here's how he's going to do it." And in the same vein of thought, he's saying, "But Rome, if you're going to be saved,
yes, sir,
this is how he's going to do it." All right? Are we about on the same page now?
Amen.
For if he's the way, the truth, and the life, there's not a Jewish way,
right,
and there's not a Gentile way.
You're right.
There's not a Jewish truth, and there's not a Gentile truth. There's not a Jewish life, and there's not a Gentile life. Right? It's all the same, right?
Amen.
I know where I'm going, and I didn't want to get here. But he has done this. For he looked in verse number 6 and says, "For they're not all of Israel that is Israel." He said, "I don't believe that." Well, he even said, the Lord Jesus even talked about a wild branch being grafted in.
Right.
Have you ever dawned on you that there's never been one time that he did not know where you was? And he didn't know what he was going to do to get you through. And he sit down and said, "Here's how he's going to do it. The elder is going to serve the younger. He that didn't deserve anything is going to get everything. And they that thought they had it coming, they're going to get left out. For behold, it is written, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated." Oh, I know what that means, Brother Michael. That means he hated Esau. No, that means he hated Esau. And I should have been the hated one.
That's right.
It should have said, "Jacob have I loved, and Michael have I hated." Hey, he should never have loved the supplanter. He should have loved the hairy one. He should have loved the one that can hunt. He can love the one that can do things. He can love the one that can make good. He should have loved the one that his father loved. But there's something about his mama that got Jacob in there. And honey, I'm going to tell you something. An angry God with a broken law in his hand looked at Adam in creation and said, "That's how I want man." But thank God the mother of the Holy Ghost began to hover over humankind and said, "Honey, you might want that, but look at them. Look at them." All of a sudden, the very Lord Jesus stood up and said, "Hey, I want them." And the God looked at him and the Holy Ghost began to do the mothering word. Said, "Son, if you want them, you can have them. Go get them. Go get them. Go get them." And it's wonderful in salvation. And it's wonderful to know that he's there. It's wonderful to know that he does all this. But can I remind you something? He's still the potter.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to tell you something. Buckle up. We talk about charismatics, but they're Baptists don't believe this. Everything good that happens to you comes directly from the hand of God. And 95% of the bad stuff comes from the same place.
You're right. You're absolutely
I knew they'd run the aisles on that one. Because it's easy when we can blame a sin. It's great when we can get in a camp meeting in revival and blame a doctrine or blame a theology or blame an interpretation. And I remind you, Paul said, while you're getting in this line of thought, hath not the potter power over the clay? It would have been all right if he'd have said, the potter's over the clay. Same meaning, same thought, same idea, same shouting, same tears. But he went a step further. Brother Travis, there's a lot of times God going all the way ain't such a good thing. Because he went all the way in verse number 21 of Romans 9. This word power is the Greek word eskousio. That's where we get our English word executive from. That means he is the final say in all matters. He is the CEO. He is the one that it crosses his desk before it goes anywhere else. And he is the one that when he says it, they better do it or they won't be around there to do it much longer. That's the job. That's the boss. He is the boss. He is the one in control. And I'm going to tell you something. We don't have a feeble-minded authority figure.
You're right.
Wives, you can't manipulate God like you do your hubby. And husbands, you can't bully God like you do your wife. And mamas and daddies, you can't bribe God like you do your children. And children, you can't turn a deaf ear to God like you do mom and daddy. Because he knows how to form you. He knows how to take care of it. For he has the authority. And he said we can either do this the easy way or we'll do it the hard way. And he'll never say, oh, it won't get done. Because, honey, it'll get done. In studying this for 3 weeks, I've seen things, Brother Jeff, I've never seen before in my life. Words and phrases that cross over that I never would have thought of crossed over in my life. We are dealing with a God of process. Your salvation's a process. Oh, you're going to preach works? Well, y'all do. We don't have to work to get it, but we should all work to keep it. If we don't go on the bus route every Saturday, we ain't going to have the joy of our salvation. Yeah, man. But it's all right. But he said, he that began this work will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And you know what I thought? This is what I thought. That this was me and God working together. As Paul said, we want to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. This ain't my job. Because I'm just the clay. He's doing the work. That same word began shows up in the book of Acts. The former trees, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. He is in a process. Do you know what your life is? It is the everyday process of God leading you, of God guiding you, of God teaching you, of God enabling you, of God helping you. That if it was not God that began this, we would not be where we are today. He is a God of process. He is a God that hands out the work forms. He is the God that hands out the mile logs. He is the God that hands out how many vessels and how many things he walks by a certain time. He don't have any right. Honey, he's the only one that does have a right. For he's the potter. We're the clay. All right? Are we all together? We're right here. Because we're going to fix them to run here in a minute. And I want us all to be together.
Amen.
Because when I start running, I don't go back to Gitchens. And I probably won't see some of you that won't be around, and another five years do we go eat hot dogs in a minute anyway. I lost some of you at Romans 9. So we'll get over here and talk about other stuff and get back on good speaking terms, all right? But we got to get where we are right now. Let's stay together right here. We're dealing now with the very potter that has all power. We are not dealing with a God that is sovereign, but we are dealing with a God that's sovereign. He's not sovereign when I want to give Him control. He is the God that takes control and in control and lets me think that I have something to do with it. That's what kind of God we serve. He is the all-knowing, all-powerful, all-seeing, all-being God that looks down from eternity into the scope of time, works out situations and circumstances to get us in the place that He's seen us be the entire time. That's the God we're talking about. I'm not talking about a sick, weak, anemic Sunday school Jesus. I'm talking about the thrice holy God that sits on the throne. He is the potter that has all power after resurrection. I hear Him say it. Now I have all power in heaven and in earth. You look at me and you say, well, Brother Michael, you're talking about God. But after the resurrection, it pleased God that in Him should all the fullness of the Godhead dwell bodily. I'm not dividing them or dividing the things or differentiating them in any means. They are the same. I didn't agree with a lot of old John R. Rice said. Lost my Baptist card there, didn't I? But he made a statement one time. He was preaching at a place and he began to pray before he preached and said, "Oh, Holy Ghost," in the meeting. And one of the young whippersnappers come up to him after the service and said, "Don't you know that you need to address your prayer to God the Father?" He said, "Oh, they know each other." In this very thought, in this very idea of God having all power, that means He can do what He wants to. We can shout about that when the bills are paid. And we can expound on that when it's somebody else's family going through hell. Brother Jeff's world fall apart. All the time said, "Don't worry, brother. God's in control of the situation." And I go home without a care. Hey, I know God's in control when I leave the doctor. And he says, "I'm healthy as a horse." My doctor said, "I was perfect." He said, "For a man my age, I'm perfect." It's easy for me to kick up my heels and say, "Thank God He's in control." But then he looked at me and then said, "Son, you got cancer. I better have enough faith to walk out so you're still in control." Because if I can't do it with my world all around me, I better not do it shouting in the sunshine. But I'm going to tell you why. Don't know the difference. He has all power. We're understanding this. We're all on the same page with this, right? Amen. In this power, He has the right to do some things. Sure. As the potter, He has the right to do some things that necessarily I don't want to be done. He said, "Has not the potter power over the clay?" And I want to go to the very last thought first, because this is the thing that I haven't fully got a hold of yet, Brother Rick. "For He said of another to make a vessel of dishonor." All of my life, Brother Jason, I thought that was a man that blew it. All of my life, Brother Jeff, it makes good preaching that God is going to take this lump and cut it down the middle and put the good over here and the bad over there. Those that we want to brag on over here and everyone that blew it over there. Can I tell you what the word dishonor literally means? To mar. He has the power to mar us. Stay with me right here. This word dishonor in the Greek, in the same primary root word in the Hebrew as you'll find in Jeremiah chapter number 18 in verse number 4, that said, as the potter wrought a vessel on the wheel that it marred in his hands, and he made it again as he seemeth good to him to make it. Do you know what that word mar literally means? To be dissatisfied with. Brother Jeff, in the literal sense, that means the potter in the forming crushes it with his own hand. And God reserves the right with his own power to crush us anytime he wants to. I wish to God he wouldn't. I wish to God I could skip through here and go on down my merry way. If it was in my power, I would. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like to see people go through hard times. Even if I hated them, I don't want nothing bad to happen to them. It breaks my heart when somebody does without. I would take extra money to school to buy boys and girls lunches around school that didn't have money to eat lunch. I'd go on ball trips for the last 10 years. I'd go on road trips, and I'd stand there, and somebody wouldn't have money to buy a McDonald's hamburger. And I'd take my debit card and swipe it and say, get what you want. I don't want to see anybody do without. And if it was in my own power, Brother Marvin, I'd make sure nobody had to do without. If it was up to me, I wouldn't crush anybody. If it was up to me, I wouldn't hurt nobody. If it was up to me, nobody would cry themselves to sleep at night. If it was up to me, nobody would go to bed and wallow in a pool of tears. If it was up to me, nobody would have to feel pain and feel anguish. But it's not up to me. I'm just the clay. God reserves the right to mar you. Oh, we shout about the molding. We shout about the making. But honey, if he never marred you, you wouldn't have been made into what you were made. If he didn't crush you, you wouldn't have walked out of it and got to walk through it and enjoy the victories that you've got to go. Oh, it was in his power. It was his doing. It was his grace. It was his love. It was his mercy. But it was a crushing blow for you and me. I don't understand how a drunk I don't understand how a drunk can have healthy babies. And a man and woman wanting to serve God has to push one in a wheelchair. I don't understand that. If it was up to me, I wouldn't have done that. But you see, he knows a little bit more than I know. And he saw fit to take y'all and to crush y'all. And he's going to make y'all again just the way he wants to. That's a little phrase up there. I like it. That's a little phrase over there in Jeremiah 18 that says, make it as he seems fit. That means he's going to build it like he wants to. There's not going to be somebody standing over his shoulder and said, I wouldn't put it there. He said, honey, this ain't your job. This is my vessel. It ain't your will. It's my will. It ain't your purpose. It's my purpose. Honey, you ain't got the power over this, but I've got all the power. I'll mar it if I want to. If it was up to me, there wouldn't be a night that went by that I wouldn't have a song to sing. Brother Brian, I went through things that I went to camp meetings and I prayed, oh God, please don't let you mess me to preach. We talk about being instant in season, out of season. I'm going to tell you something, honey. If you've ever been out of season, you'll try to go to a camp meeting and hide. You'll stand there on the second and third row and be scared to death. They'll ask you to lead in silent prayer because you ain't got nothing to say and nothing that can muster it up and no hope and no help there because everything about you was crushed. And it wasn't religiosity being crushed. And it wasn't ideas being crushed. And it wasn't a loudmouth preacher. And it wasn't Sister Long Tongue talking to Sister Jabberjaw, but it was the very potter of heaven crushed you in the middle of his will. And he said, I can mold you, I can make you, but I got to mar you.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
I'm going to tell you something. I want you to hear me. He'll mar you more in service than he will preparing you for salvation. Brother Rick, if it's up to me, I wouldn't let it happen to you. It happened to you for nothing in the world. But you're preaching better now than I've ever heard you. And it took God marring you the very hand of the potter that'll take you and mold you, that'll take you and build you up, take you and make you fit for use. I found out something else.
Help yourself, Mr.
I want you to get this. In the way it's presented in verse number 21, there's still honor in the dishonor. What Paul is saying here is, it's an honor to be marred. Can you hear Paul get down on his knees and say, thank you, God, for crushing me? Because if you hadn't crushed me, I could not have looked at the church of Galatia and say, but God forbid. And I should glory saving the cross of the Lord Jesus. He said, church of Rome, if it wasn't for him crushing me, if it wasn't for him giving me the thorn in the flesh that I asked God three times about, but he looked at me and said, my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. I can say, should not walk in here and open my discourse and say, I would know nothing among you save Jesus and him crucified. If it had not been for the marring of the hand of his potter, he would have looked at them and said, on more than one occasion, I come not unto you in excellency of speech, but I come to you in the power of God to give you the gospel. There is honor in being marred by the hands of your potter. Some of you are trying to figure out why.
Hallelujah.
Can I tell you the greatest lesson grace ever taught me? Is there's not an answer for every why of your life. Not every why has an answer. Not every why has a reason. Not every why has a positive outcome. Not every why has a positive outlook. But honey, there ain't never been a why changed my potter. There ain't never been a why changed his power. And in a time, he sought to crush me. And in a time, he sought to mar me. I just found myself in the hands of him. And I'm going to tell you something. For God, I'm going to tell you something. The crushing felt as good as the caressing, because he knows how to do his job. He will crush you, and you'll never know you've been crushed. What a God, what a Savior. Now, if he's going to crush it, we'd pick it up and do it like that. But do you know how they crush a vessel? Have you ever saw a vessel being crushed? The potter don't crush from the outside in. He sticks his hands on the inside of the vessel and he crushes that vessel from the inside out. Because you're going to understand, when the molding process first began, he didn't build up the outside. He hollowed out the inside. And he took his big old hand and stuck it down in the clay of my life. And my hands have been formed. My form has been formed around the hands of the potter. And they say, if you go to an art exhibit, that no two pieces of pottery ever look the same, because they take on the nature of the potter's hand. I want you to get this. God don't deal with us the same way. And you can throw 50, 60, 70, you said 106 here last night. They knew I was preaching tonight, so they all stayed at home. They'll come in tomorrow night. But you put all of them together in one place, and you're going to see the difference that the potter made in every one of our lives. We try to hide the fact we've been crushed.
How about that?
I'm okay.
Come on.
I'm okay. God, I let them know that, but I don't want them to know I'm weak. God, I will let them know that, but I don't want them to talk about me. Brother Brian, but there's an honor in being marred. Are you still with me? Even the crushed vessel. I want you to get this. I'm going to steal it from you, Dad. Reach around there and get your seatbelt. Fashion it good and tight. Even the crushed vessel, when he makes it over, uses the same foundation that it had when it started. I want you to understand. I can understand what Paul told the church of Corinth when he said, I've been perplexed. I've been cast down. But I've not been destroyed. Because he's going to leave a foundation. Because he's not making another vessel out of us. He marred that vessel. And he's going to make that vessel again the way that he seemed fit. I'm reminded of Luke chapter 32, where he looked at Simon Peter and said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired you to have you sift you as wheat. But don't worry, Simon. I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. I'm going to tell you something. The most prized possession mamas and daddies can walk out of trials with to let their kids see is the faith that they had in the Lord Jesus. Untried faith is worthless.
You're right.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Job looked up. And he said, I don't know all about this, but I know this much. If you want to slay me, I'll still trust you. He can mar us. But Don, he's never one time crushed the vessel without always already knowing what he's going to use that vessel for. Not only this, does he have the power to mar us, but he has the power to mold us.
Yes, sir.
And he'll take that vessel. Now, I can understand. I want you to get this. I can understand him crushing it while it's still soft clay.
Yes, sir.
I watched a documentary one time in my art class dealing with pottery. Sit there for the first 45 minutes. We watched this man go through the breaking process of a vessel. I thought to myself when Mr. McIntyre told us of this great assignment of sitting here watching a man break down a piece of clay. I thought, how intriguing. How wonderful it would be just to get to experience this wonderful of cinematic greatness that we get to view with our eyes and observe this wonderful feat. We started laying our heads down. They started popping chewing gum. But something caught my eye. Because I was thinking to myself that this man was going to walk out into a potter's field where the broken pieces were and pick one up and take it over here and break it and start it all over again. But he went to the shelf of one that's already been finished and had a price tag on it. He said, I think I want this one. That piqued my interest. And Judas rose up in me and said, how about this waste? It could have been sold and given to the poor. You've got a lot of other places to get these from. I guess the man that was filming this had a... God, excuse me. He had a perplexed look on his face too. Because that potter said, look out my back door. Pan the whole area. He looked, and there wasn't one piece of broken pottery anywhere. Not one. He said, in my potter's house, there's no vessels that ever get cast out.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Honey.
Say that again.
He said, in my potter's house, there's no vessels ever got cast out.
Hey.
He said, but if they can find a use for them, I'll use them. And he took that and put it down. And I thought to myself, now if it was me, I'd take a hammer and just crack it. Break it. I'm good at breaking stuff. I can write documentaries on how to break things. I can do that. But he laid down a little pelt and laid it down and put that bowl right in the middle of it and went over. Same man, same perplexed look on his face. He said, I understand all this. I know you probably don't want to get your things busted. You don't want to get your tabletop scratched. But why in the world? What in the world is this that you laid down? He said, there's only one kind of hide that don't tear in the breaking process. And he said, no matter what you break, if it's a big, if it's little, it don't matter. There's only one hide that will not break. And he said, you know what that hide is? And he said, what? He said, you wrap them in a lambskin. He said, because the breaking process won't puncture the lambskin. And he said, I'm going to tell you something else. He said, you use cowhide. He said, you use any other kind of hide. You hit it one time and it shoots out the side. He said, there's something about that lambskin that when the breaking comes, it just sort of like catches it and draws it back in together. He said, it don't let it scatter out. But even in the breaking process, that lambskin keeps it all right there, right close together. Can I tell you something, honey? We wasn't covered by bulls and goats. We wasn't covered by bullets and calves and turtle doves and pigeons. Oh, but he knew the situation and the circumstances of our lives. He would have to cover us with a lambskin. And may I remind you that he was verily foreordained as a lamb since before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times of year. I know what you're talking about, Brother Michael. I know what you're talking about. I knew he made himself manifest on the cross. No, honey, you're going to find out that lambskin that got you in is a lambskin that's getting you through. And the breaking process of this life, when the breaking time comes, he'll make himself known. And when we should have been scattered all over the place, when we should have been busted in smithereens, and they have to take a dust map, dust mop, or a dust vac to get us up, he had our pieces right ready and close, ready to go. And can I tell you something? It does not stop there. Can I tell you, when they begin to pour the oil and the water back in the dust, they don't move it off the lambskin. Do you know when they take it off the lambskin? When it gets ready to be put back in the kiln. Because you got to understand, it's been broken. And if you're not careful, you get that wheel too fast, it'll throw that clay everywhere. still got your seatbelt on. He picks up that pelt and puts it on the wheel. And because it's anchored in a lambskin, it can spin as fast as it wants to. And Dad, it don't move. All of a sudden,
you might have heard the song before. She heard it like this.
All of a sudden, he broke us. He broke us and put us on that lambskin. Now, I want you to understand this. That lambskin was our salvation. All of a sudden, that lambskin was our security during the breaking. But all of a sudden, that lambskin becomes our steadfastness in the remaking again. And he's going to mold us again. God, I'm about to die. And what he's doing in this process and what he's bringing about in your life is we're so comfortable with the lambskin that that clay will just do whatever that potter wants it to do. Because number one, it remembers the pain of the breaking. But Dad, when it got so dark and we thought that the outside world had just shut out all of his light, it wasn't dark because of evilness. He just flopped over us.
How about that?
Because all of a sudden,
you ain't got to hold on, he's got you.
All of a sudden, being wrapped up in that lamb's pelt, I can look at Solomon said in 2 Chronicles chapter number 6 and verse number 1, and says the Lord dwells in thick darkness. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But where the Lord is, there's rest. Honey, I don't know what you do at your house, but when the lights go out in my house, I go to sleep. I was at Sammy Allen's camp meeting. I was 3 years old. There wasn't a light in the sanctuary nowhere. A thunderstorm come up at 2:30 in the afternoon. Lights went out. I kissed one on the cheek and said, good night. Went to bed and went to sleep. The lights went off. I went to sleep. I don't go to bed till I'm tired. When I go to bed, I go to sleep. You know, when I wake up, somebody turns the light on. Am I telling the truth? When somebody turns the light on, I wake up. Can I tell you something? In this trial you're going through, in the darkness, lay away back in him, go to sleep. Honey, the light will come on directly. And when the light comes back on, you can get up and go on. But why it's dark? The Bible says you can work while the day's here. But the night comes when no man works. I don't know what that's talking about. That's talking about the tribulation. That's when he's talking about going through this breaking process. And God turns the light out on you and leaves you with nothing to do and no hope to depend on and no help to rest in. But he said, I'm here, son. I've got you wrapped up. Go to sleep. I'll see you in the morning. He's going to mold us. That man went through that entire process again. And all of a sudden, the whole time, I want you to get this. The whole time that man's been talking, like he ain't been doing one thing. He was so comfortable with the clay that it looked like he was just dealing with it and not thinking about it. But he looked at the camera and he said, I know what this clay needs just by the touch. I looked at it and thought it was all right. But he touched it and it needed something. I've been happy on the wheel and thought I had it all well in hand. Had my preaching right. Had my praying right. Had my singing right, had my shouting right, but all of a sudden the potter ran his hand down in my life and said, oh, honey, you need a little bit more water. You're getting dry on this part. And can I tell you, throw that water on that, and all of a sudden, a new texture began to form. Same vessel, same clay, same potter, but something different. You know why I love going to church? We sing out of the same songbook, preach out of the same Bible. How many times a year do you use the same outline, just name it something else? They don't know. One thing I missed about evangelism, you just carry five sermons around. No, I'm kidding.
I'll take it somewhere else. Yeah.
Go out there. But we had everything just right. But the potter knows what you need by touch. He made a statement on that video, and Lord help. I was just assuming. When babies cry, you know it's getting late. But he got there, and he looked at him, and he looked at the camera, and he said, I see with my hands. He said, I can go. He said, in the dark places of my life, in the dark places of the clay where nobody can see, he said, I can take my hand and feel a punctured place or feel a place that's not all the way together, and I can fix that. He said, do you know that damage the size of a pinhole can make it explode in the fire? Do you know why some of us hadn't hit something big yet? We ain't got over the pinholes yet. The little things still bothering us. The writer of Hebrews spent five chapters rehearsing to the Hebrew Christian everything that God has done for them. And in verse 1 of chapter 6, he gets them in a pep rally and gets them together and says, therefore, my beloved brethren, let us go on, leaving the principles of the base things of salvation. Don't get over it. But you got to move on. Because there's situations and circumstances that you're going to face that you're going to need more than it's good to be saved. There's going to be situations and storms you face that when I get to heaven, when I die, ain't going to cut it. And it takes the potter taking his hand and working that out in your life, molding you. He made a statement on that video. He said, all of a sudden, the clay takes on my mind. And he says that clay starts doing what I want it to do before I put my hands to do it, Dad. Isn't that what we preach for years? That more times than not, you're going to find yourself doing the will of God before you knew what the will of God was. You know why? Because all of a sudden, being wrapped up in that lambskin, we found out what the potter likes. And we've been around so many times that he might want to bend us this way. Might want to bend us that way. Might want to bend us this way. And all of a sudden, he embraces us to let us know. He was right all the time, son. And he got through. He took a beautiful bowl and crushed it and made a pitcher. And the man looked at him and said, why the drastic change? He looked at him and he said this, he's got enough. It's time for him to give something. I don't know why we got this, honey. How much stuff have you got from him? How many blessings have you given? How many blessings have you received? How many shouts have you got? How many good services have you received and blessings that you have? It might be time you start giving. Well, I'm tired, honey. There's more to giving than money. Can I tell you something? You give a tenth of your paycheck, 50% of your paycheck, 90% of your paycheck, and you don't give God the other 90% of the rest of the stuff you got, this church ain't going nowhere. God wants more than my billfold. Because can I tell you something? Personally, there's a limit in what I can give financially. Because I ain't got it. You can't get blood out of a turnip. Maybe a sweet potato, but not a turnip. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There's some of you sitting on barrel and barrel and barrel of talent. You never tapped into God yet. God will throw our money in the offering plate. But you've got testimony after testimony after testimony that God's blessed you with. See, I tell you something, we ain't trying to kill time when we say God done something for you, stand up and let's know about it. Can I tell you something? You take away your testimony, God might take away your tithe. You take away your talent, God might take away your testimony. I'm not off base. I'm still in the book. Because he has the power to mold you. But he said, hath not the potter power over the clay, that of the same lump, I like that word lump. Do you know what that word lump, when you get into it and look at it is? Do you know what it means? Now you're thinking I'm going to make this up. I ain't smart enough to make something like this up. It means a mass of something with a purpose in mind. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Well, I'm a mass of something that God has a purpose in mind of using. That's what we are. The same lump. And he said, of this same lump, that he'll make a vessel unto honor, and another to dishonor. I caught you, Brother Michael. I've been waiting for 5 years to get you on this. You said it was the same one. Can I tell you something? That word another that's used there is the same another as he's talking about the comforter. One just like the same. But wait a minute. Brother Jason, for 3 weeks I've been mulling this over in my mind. How that something that's dishonorable, honorable, come here. Because the potter has the power to manifest what he was doing. The crushing was the potter. The molding was the potter. The another vessel out of the same lump, out of the same clay, is still the potter. And one great question hit my mind when he began to put that piece of pottery back in the kiln again. And before I could say it out loud, the asthma art teacher, the man that was doing the interview, looked at that pottery and said, will it go through the fire again? That pottery got a big smile on his face. He said, young man, rest assured, if it went through the fire one time, it'll make it through the fire every time. That would be enough to kick it neutral. And the old brother Ralph Sexton Sr. used to say, run to Goobertown, Arkansas and back. That'd be enough. But grandmother, he said, but every time it goes through the fire, it becomes more precious and more valuable. You've got to understand this. We was nothing but a pile of dust. But now we're a vessel to manifest the grace of God. And whether it's getting or whether it's giving, I went to a pottery. My mom has a little vase at home that finished number one in the county of McDowell, number three in the whole big state of North Carolina that I made. And when they looked at that, they did not look at that and say, I have to buy that thing. You know what they said? I got a call one day. Down to the office, Mr. McIntyre standing there with a big smile on his face, beaming like a 40-watt bulb. He said, Mr. Grant, this is Mr. Jacobson. He said, hello, Mr. Jacobson. He said, he is from Raleigh, North Carolina, and he wanted to meet you. I said, why in the world would Mr. Jacobson from Raleigh, North Carolina, want to meet me? He said he had to know who was responsible for the vessel that he voted on. And he wanted to meet you because you sculpted it. And I learned a valuable lesson in the hallway of McDowell High School is that the potter does not manifest glory for the vessel, but the potter manifests glory for the potter. He chose to crush us because at the end of it, he is going to get glory. He wrapped us up in the lambskin and beat us to a pulp and left us in dust, Granny, just because he's going to get glory. I didn't know how much I was going to get to stand. I don't know how much I was going to walk through. I don't know how much he was going to take. But he done that he might give glory. And honey, if I don't give it to him, he'll let somebody walk by and look at the vessel and say, I want to meet that potter. Because he sure knows how to work that clay. He looked at me. He said, how many vessels have you ever made? I said, out of all of them, this is my masterpiece. He's the only one ever made. He said, how much do you want for it? I said, nothing. He said, what you want to do with it? I said, I'm taking it home. I'm going to tell you something. This world will put a price tag on your shout. This world will put a price tag on your religion. This world will put a price tag on your preaching. This world will put a price tag on your singing. This world will put a price tag on your life. They'll put a price tag on your living. And there'll be somebody that'll come around there. Hey, Brother Travis, I don't know if you heard it yet or not. I have. Let me just warn you, in vandalism, as they used to call it. When you go to a place, they'll say, well, Brother Travis, you know, if you'd calm down a little bit, we'll use you in our meetings. I tell you what, Brother Travis, Brother Michael, if you'd just calm down, we could use somebody like you in this school. Have you heard it yet? What school did you go to? I went to school of hard knocks. I've been beat around, kicked around, beat to death. I've been there. There'll be somebody wanting to buy you. There'll be somebody wanting to take you home with them. But honey, the potter didn't make you for them. The potter didn't make you to go sit on somebody else's shelf. The potter didn't make you to go to somebody else's house. But honey, he formed that vessel to get glory out of you. That one day after a while, he's going to pick you up and he's going to take you home. And when you get there, sweetheart, just a journey every day. It gets sweeter as the days go by. The longer I serve him, the sweeter it goes. The more that I love him, more love he's bestowed. Each day is like heaven. My heart overflows. For the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The songwriter said, every need he is supplied. Plenteous grace he bestows. Can I tell you what I found out? Every time you want to know how sufficient God's grace is, he'll give you a thorn. Every time you want to find out how much God loves you, he'll put you through a test. He'll put you through a trial. He'll gonna put you through something that you'll have to crawl out. But honey, he's just wanting to get you down as low as you can anyway. Because he said God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He said if you humble yourself under the mighty arm of God. Can I tell you something about that mighty arm of God? That literally means under the potter's hand. He said if you humble yourself under the potter's hand, he said I'll exalt you in due time. And he said when I exalt you and I get you down as low as you can go, he said you can cast every care on me because I care for you. Because you've got to be sober and be vigilant for your adversary. The devil is like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. Sitting in a high school biology class, a great biblical truth come off a video. Do you know what they said? They said the king of the jungle is a lion. It is the greatest hunter ever seen. But they said there ain't never been anything killed by a lion that was hid by something else. And they said that the lions love zebras. Now you think everything in the jungle, everything out there is green and brown. God made them black and white. You tell me he don't have a sense of humor. But do you know how a little zebra survives? When it gets to a safe place, it'll hunker down. And they know how to be still. I watched a documentary that there were six lions around one tree, and that zebra didn't move, and no lions didn't eat it. There's enough there to destroy it and eat it and go off, but it learned how to hunker. Do you know what God wants to teach us? How to hunker. Because if we learn how to hide, that devil can roar all he wants to. Can I tell you something? Do you know what gets us in trouble? The devil's always been a show-off. He's going to step out. He's going to roar. You know what our trouble is? We try to roar back. But ours just ain't as intimidating as that lion's is.